everybody.
It's a dangerous love affair.
Come on.
Can't be scared when it goes down. Got a problem, tell me now. Only thing that's on my mind.
Get over to BFDFantasyFootball.com and subscribe now. You're missing a ton of great advice there, including free agents, player rankings, and more of the opinions you love on the players. BFDFantasyFootball.com.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the BFD Fantasy Football Show. I'm your host, Joe Jefferson, lead editor of BFD. Thanks for joining us wherever you are. We appreciate the folks listening live here in the chat and those downloading later wherever you are. We do appreciate the support. Today, October 27th, just finishing week 7 and heading into week 8, be joined by my co-host as usual and BFD writer Dave Terpoli, affectionately known as Dave Terp. Dave, how you doing tonight?
Doing well. Week off. I'm ready to get back into it.
No doubt, no doubt. Just as a reminder, please do get on over to the site, bfdfantasyfootball.com. We still got a great ton of great content coming at you every week. We got the early rankings, the final rankings. I've got my blog over there. Dave's picking. He's got his daily page over there where he talks about his weekly picks on our partner, DraftKings.com. Again, do check out our partner, DraftKings.com. At our homepage, if you click on our link there and start a new account with them and make an initial deposit of $10 or more, then you get 50% off your BFD subscription, so you'll get in for just $10 for the remainder of the season. I think we can help you make that back with our partner over the remainder of the season. Dave, how did Week 7 treat you overall?
Pretty solid overall. I mean, Amari Cooper was definitely the guy that I was targeting all over it. I thought would be low percentage owned. It worked out pretty well. I mean, I think he was 4% owned in the $300 contest and 8% owned in the millionaire contest. So it definitely worked out for guys who used them. You should have made some money last week with Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton, who I pretty much had on every team. It should have definitely been a profitable week.
Yeah, Luck and Hilton look like they're getting in their groove. You know, Hilton looking like the number one there, finally healthy with Luck at the same time, and looks to be a great guy for the second half of the season here. You know, my thought is we can take our usual sort of gander at the injury outlook for this week, talk about some of the implications, what we saw last week and what we see for next week. And then we can talk about some free agents that might be able to help your team heading into week 8. If we got some time, we'll get into some DraftKings lineups. How's that sound, big guy?
Sounds good.
All right. Big Ben admitted he was feeling a little pain in his leg after practicing last week. All indications, though, he's good to go this weekend. What do you think about Big Ben and his return?
He'll be out there. He's been trying to get out there the last couple of weeks, so I have no doubt about that whatsoever. Antonio Brown finally become, I mean, he had a pretty solid game last week, but he'll become a fantasy monster again. I think, you know, especially on DraftKings, he'll probably be under-owned this week. Most people won't be buying the Roethlisberger-Brown connection yet, so it's definitely one to look at, but I definitely think Big Ben will be out there, and I expect him to beat the Bengals.
Nice, yeah, I do expect Big Ben to be out there and slinging the rock right from the get. I've been talking about how I think this offense is just ready to take off with Martavis Bryant coming back. Looks like a beast. They just need a guy with a little more consistency and a guy who can get the ball down the field vertically. And we know Big Ben can do that. So excited to see what he'll bring this Sunday. He may have to temper expectations against a little bit of a tough matchup. He may kind of need a week to get into his groove. But, again, buy low options there all across the board, I think. totally as far as his receiver options there. Mariota, you know, out with the MCL, you know, seeing him, you know, may be able to return. What do you think about Mariota potentially returning?
I don't think he'll be back this week. I was expecting him to sit out at least one more week, maybe two. I mean, there's no real reason for him to get back out there and rush. I mean, not that Zach Benningberger, I mean, he was pretty much terrible against Atlanta, you know, for all the crying he did in the offseason when they drafted Mariota. He sure didn't show anything in that game that made me think that he's an NFL-caliber quarterback. I mean, Atlanta's defense and secondary is not very good. They were at home. I mean, there are a lot of guys open. He made a lot of bad throws. There's really no reason, unless they're, you know, with that division, which is pretty much the worst division in football with the NFC East. I think the Colts are winning the division right now at 3-4. So, I mean, every team, I guess, is still in it. So, if they're going to rush him back, it'll be for that reason. But other than that, I mean, I would sit him out at least another game.
Yeah, moving right along. I agree with all that. Moving right along, Arian Foster, of course, big news of the week, out for the season. Torn right Achilles, tough stuff for, you know, guys who were waiting on him, and he was really looking like he was emerging there. Who do you expect to fill his shoes? Who do you like on the wire there?
First of all, totally devastating news. I mean, he was pretty much right up there with Le'Veon Bell and Todd Gurley as the best running backs, and Devonta Freeman, of course, in fantasy football right now. And non-contact injuries are always the scariest because they usually have, you know, lead to very, very bad things, which is always worrisome. I mean, I would guess Alfred Blue is going to be the guy, but, I mean, Chris Polk was getting a lot of work, you know, when Foster was playing, you know, situational. Jonathan Grimes is still there. I mean, there's talk of maybe Pierre Thomas being brought in. Alfred Blue is the guy to own if you really want to try to buy low on somebody. Chris Polk, maybe gamble with. But a lot of unknown there, but I think Alfred Blue is the guy.
Yeah, I like that. He's the guy who, you know, has had a lot of chances, but actually did do something with one early in the season before Foster came back. So I would agree there. You know, Blue's kind of the lead dog, but you know, I think all those guys are probably worth a gamble or a shot if you're hungry at the running back spot, like a lot of us are. we can get back to some of those guys as we get to the free agent discussion, but Deion Lewis practiced today, tentatively on track to return against the Dolphins on Thursday. So what do you think about him?
He'll be back. I mean, they definitely, you know, could have used him probably a little bit more against a very good Jets defense. But, I mean, with Tom Brady, I mean, he can make the James Whites of the world and the, you know, Danny Amendola's of the world fantasy relevant. So I expect him to be back out there, and he's a guy you got to plug in your lineup, especially in DPR formats, without a doubt.
Carlos Hyde looks like he has some sort of stress fracture in his foot, you know, something that didn't affect his performance, you know, quote unquote, you know, 11 carries for 40 yards. What do you think about Hyde the remainder of the season?
If you own Carlos Hyde, unless the matchup is absolutely like a Cleveland Browns matchup, I think you sit him, and there's got to be better options out there. I would start a guy like Darren Sproles and guy like, you know, Darren McFadden, obviously, after a big week. All these guys that I can name on for days over Carlos Hyde right now. I mean, I don't know many running backs that are running with a stress fracture that, especially in an offense that's relatively dreadful right now, that's going to be successful. So, I mean, Carlos Hyde, unless you're desperate, desperate, belongs on your bench.
Here in Denver, Emmanuel Sanders looks like he's back in action there. You know, should be back this week without missing a beat there. So, you know, talked a little bit about Peyton Manning last week and, you know, how I thought, gosh, it may be time for other options in Denver. What do you think about Peyton Manning in Denver? I want to get an outsider perspective here.
I mean, I said since the beginning of the season, I've been very worrisome with Peyton Manning. I mean, he has his moments, but overall he just doesn't look like he has it right now. I mean, defense is winning them games. I expect him to rely a little bit on Ronnie Hillman this week. You could tell Demaryius Thomas is not at his usual, you know, top-tier self. Emmanuel Sanders is probably the best receiver, you know, fantasy-wise on the team right now. But Peyton Manning, if you have better options at quarterback, it's probably scary, but I would start a guy like Blake Bortles. I mean, obviously not this week because they're off, but overall for the rest of the season, a guy like Blake Bortles has more upside than Peyton Manning, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. As much as I'm kind of dogging on, you know, Peyton, the way he's playing, he still does have, you know, tons of weak upside. You know, his guys on the outside, Sanders and Thomas, are both beasts. I still believe are both, you know, probably one of the best tandems in the NFL and can make some big plays. So, you know, a little bit of improvement from him, perhaps off a bye, and, you know, perhaps it makes me look silly for even you know, the blasphemy of talking bad about Peyton on the air. moving right along. Buccaneers, Vincent Jackson, you know, suffers a knee injury, didn't return, didn't appear serious. I do have him in a couple spots. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed there, but you do got to kind of watch that. You know, doesn't really look like the number one there in San Diego any longer. What do you make – or I'm sorry, in Tampa any longer. What do you make of that situation in Tampa?
It's definitely the Mike Evans show. I mean, I kind of smacked myself a little bit because I like Mike Evans a lot this week on DraftKings, and I didn't use him as much as I should have because I figured he'd be underused because he really has done nothing all season. He's the guy. I mean, he's the guy that Winston's going to force feed the ball. I mean, you could tell when Jackson went out. I mean, it was pretty much Mike Evans or bust.
Mm-hmm.
Vincent Jackson's still going to get, you know, plenty of targets, but I mean, I definitely like Mike Evans a lot more going forward. I mean, he looked very, very solid last week.
Jeremy Maclin, of course, missing last week's game after passing the concussion protocol. It was kind of a surprising inactive there. So we'll see what his status is for this weekend as they travel to London. I assume he plays, but, you know, I thought he was good to go last week. He kind of burned me in a spot or two. What you make of Jeremy Maclin?
I mean, I expected him to play last week. I'm just glad I don't have much ownership of him. It made no sense. I mean, he passed the concussion protocol. You know, the Chiefs are a very, very bad football team. And, you know, a game they pretty much had to win, which somehow they won. They were 1-5 at the time. So I don't understand how, if he passes it, he shouldn't be out there. But that's Andy Reid for you. He's always the unexpected.
You know, I'm hearing some conflicting reports on Antonio Gates today, or yesterday, I guess. But, you know, some saying he could be out this week. Some saying he could be out for multiple weeks with his knee injury. What do you make of him in San Diego?
I mean, he's a guy you got to hold on to no matter what. I mean, if he's back, he's an absolute fantasy force, as you saw the first, you know, game he came back. Ladarius Green is definitely going to be the target guy. And the Chargers right now are just a bipolar team. I mean, one week they look just offensively, you know, gifted. And then they get embarrassed pretty much in the first half of football against the Raiders. So, I mean, Ladarius Green is definitely the guy to own right now. Hopefully, if you own Gates, you own Green. Hopefully that works out for you. But I expect him to miss at least two more weeks at the very minimum because, I mean, he's an older guy. So, I mean, he wants to be out there. But right now, bad team, I think they're going to hold him out as long as possible.
Philip Dorsett, looks like he fractures his fibula. Probably time to cut him. Unfortunate. He's a guy I liked in the second half of the season, thought could really emerge in that offense as it was moving forward. But I think this kind of solidifies that, you know, three-receiver rotation there in Indianapolis, don't you think, you know, with Andre, Moncrief, and T.Y.?
What a disaster that's been in Indianapolis. I mean, the first half of that game was really, really hard to watch against a dreadful Saints defense. I mean, Philip Dorsett, who was probably shouldn't have been drafted by the Colts, but, you know, had an impressive, you know, preseason. And many expected big things, but just couldn't do anything so far in the regular season. Has a really bad injury. And he's another guy, like you said, that we expected that could be a late sleeper later in the year, but definitely solidifies the top three. I mean, there really is no other option. I mean, it's T.Y. Hilton, Moncrief, and Andre Johnson in that order. You would think, you know, the Colts would be a more prolific offense than they are, but that team is a disaster right now, and they should be a lot better than they're playing. Their offensive line is one of the big reasons their luck is just getting smashed.
Yeah, really tough, but starting to come on from a little bit of a fantasy perspective, and I suspect it'll come around here, and it'll be a bit better, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, if they're behind, is all we don't care about, you know, from the NFL perspective. All we care about is the fantasy perspective. So the second half was awesome because guys like T.Y. Hilton, Moncrief, and obviously Andrew Luck got off the board, but I really think they need to get Ahmad Bradshaw involved more. I've said it since day one. I just never thought Frank Gore was a fit for this offense. I mean, he's been serviceable, but he's really not what I think they – I mean, the loss of Dan Heron last year, you could just tell, is just they really don't have that guy in the backfield that can just make plays. Frank Gore is more of a, you know, 3-4 yard a carry guy, and I just don't think it's going to be successful from a fantasy perspective until they get Bradshaw the ball more.
Interesting. Dez Bryant, of course, works out a little pregame last week. It looks like he's in decent shape. Looks like he's got an opportunity to play this next week, don't you think?
You would think so. Against Seattle, though, they might sit him another week. He looked like he was ready to go last week, jumping around the sidelines, fighting with Greg Hardy. I mean, he looked like he was just ready to get out there and just hit somebody. I would expect him to do everything possible to play this week. I mean, Dallas desperately needs him. But they need Romo more than they need Bryant. That team will not win a game without until Romo gets back. I mean, Castle and Brandon Whedon have been simply dreadful. So I expect him to be out there. If he's out there, it's not even a question. He's in your lineup.
No doubt. You know, you got him, you play him, obviously. Leonard Hankerson won't practice tomorrow. Probably not looking good for this week. What do you make of the receiving core in Atlanta here?
Right now, it's outside of Julio Jones. It's just a very, very big question mark. I mean, Roddy White has been okay the last couple games, but, I mean, he's not a guy you're starting in fantasy football. A guy that's really, really deep who you might want to think about who has been getting, you know, some pub earlier this week and something I just read from Matt Ryan, Justin Hardy, the rookie. I mean, he hasn't been active again this season yet, but with Hankerson probably going to miss this game, might get some looks this week. So he's definitely a guy that if you got, you know, a spot on your roster to take a shot with somebody, you know, in an offense with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones taking up much of the attention with Devonta Freeman, he could be a guy to look at, you know, deep, deep leagues, of course, not, you know, 15, 16-man leagues.
You know, looking deeper here, Marquez Lee, hamstring injury, didn't make the trip even to London. Of course, he's been out for a while. Not stopping the Jaguars' offense from cooking. What do you think about the Jags?
It's the Allen Robinson and Allen Hurn show right now. Julius Thomas back. I mean, they're a very, very solid offense. T.J. Yeldon, first 100-yard game, scored his first rushing touchdown of the season against a very good Bills defense. Jags' offense is definitely fantasy perspective that's been solid so far. You can't really deny that. All them guys are 100% starts when they're in there.
Yeah, you think so? Julius Thomas is the guy I was going to ask you about. I mean, he's kind of been all over the board since he's been back. You think he's a solid start just moving forward?
I say so. I mean, with all the bye weeks and everything that's still going on, I mean, I expect him to only get better as the season goes on. I'm not the biggest Blake Bortles fan, but from a fantasy perspective, he's been top five, top seven quarterback, and you know that's outstanding.
Yeah, I got Blake Bortles in a lot of spots, like as my backup, and looking like my starter in a lot of spots now. Of course, Julius Thomas dealing with his groin injury. I'm cautiously optimistic, I'll say, but those receivers, like you said, look pretty locked in that rotation with Hearns and Robinson. Robinson looking like he's leading the way, in my opinion, but Hearns, you know, 1B option there. Packers coming back, big game against Denver.
You going to be there?
I'm thinking about it, actually. I don't have tickets secured yet, but I was thinking about it. My buddy actually got tickets from DraftKings. I'm like, geez, maybe I need to be hitting them up. Davante Adams and Ty Montgomery, both kind of on the mend. What do you think about their prospects and, I guess, that game generally?
Adams is definitely a guy I'm buying low right now. I mean, I really think he could be a sleeper for the rest of the season because, I mean, James Jones is what James Jones is. He's never going to be a target monster. He's just a guy that Rodgers feels comfortable with around the red zone. And Randall Cobb really has been lately MIA. I mean, just a total fantasy disaster. I mean, many expected him after the first couple games to be, top three, top five receiver, and he's been anything but it. So, I mean, Adams has the talent. He has the rapport with, Rodgers from last year. So if you can get him down the cheap or you can, trade for him, I would definitely go pick him up right now because Aaron Rodgers loves to throw the football and they got a lot of good matchups coming up.
Yeah, I love that call. Davante Adams is a great buy low candidate, I think. He practiced yesterday and Montgomery didn't. So, got to think he's got a inside track on that wide receiver three spot, which has definitely got some value. And with Cobb having some potential downside, he could be, heavily involved in the rotation. I do expect Cobb to bounce back, though. Let's see. Anybody else worth covering here? Harry Douglas looks like he might return. Not much news, really, with Mariota potentially out.
You would think Corey Green Beckham would get some looks, but, I mean, he's just not getting them right now. I don't understand.
I've been waiting on him.
I mean, I own him in so many leagues, and I'm just waiting for that time where they just let him go, and they're just not letting him go. Same thing with Jalen Strong in Houston. I mean, there are two guys I liked a lot last year, a lot last week that – between both of them, didn't catch a pass. I mean, I was shocked last week in both matchups. I thought they could be guys who are really, really under the radar. And with Harry Douglas out, I thought Green Beckham would be the guy that would, definitely take advantage of it and was nowhere to be found, which Ken Wisenhut,
exactly.
They're just not – I'm not a fan of him. And Bill O'Brien, they just like veterans. So, veteran guys – instead of upside,
and when you get, I talked about this a little bit last week. When you get post the bye week too, you start to lose hope on some of these younger guys because the bye week is kind of that great opportunity for the coaching staff, I think, to game plan and get some of these less experienced guys into the rotation a little bit more. And when you don't see that happen, it kind of deflates some of these guys, I think. But there's still lots of young receivers, and they all kind of look the same now, but I you're going to see some of them, I think, emerge down the stretch.
What is going on with Brian Quick in St. Louis? I mean, another guy that I know I drafted in a lot of spots and just continues to just get nothing.
I don't know what to tell you, man. That St. Louis situation, I just, I can't really trust, It's a roulette who's going to get the ball every week. And so I don't think you can really count on anybody there outside of the man, Todd Gurley. Cash looking like a total beast. I've got him in a couple of big leagues, and I'm just loving it right now. Took a shot on him in a couple spots. Wish I'd have taken a couple more shots on him, but didn't take too many as I was a little bit worried about him coming back even before their bye, but man, he's just turning it on. What do you think about him?
I mean, right now he's probably the number one fantasy player in fantasy football right now at all positions. I mean, his upside is immense right now because one thing we know about Jeff Fisher is he's going to give him the ball all the time, and they really don't have any other weapons beside him. And I know they do play, in the Seattle, Arizona, division. So, I mean, it'll be a little tough against the run, but he's going to get 20 carries plus a game and probably a couple catches. I mean, he's still at a great value at DraftKings at 6,300. I think he should be a lot higher. But there's not really much. I mean, I own him and in a couple spots, no really big spots. This year was definitely the year to gamble. Guys like Martavis Bryant, guys like, Gates before he got injured, Arian Foster before he got injured, and Todd Gurley. I mean, if you gambled on those players, you could be sitting in really, really good shape right now.
Because you could have gotten Foster, then what good is that?
Crazy, though. Losing Foster. The Foster injury really, really screwed me in a lot of places.
Oh, gosh. That's that's why we got to check out the waiver wire. There's some upside to that, I suppose. Let's start with some quarterbacks. Probably shouldn't be available. We talked about Blake Bortles. I think he's pretty much the best option out there as far as guys who were likely available in your league or shouldn't really be at this point. Tyrod Taylor, Derek Carr, Ryan Fitzpatrick, I would even kind of put into that category at this point. After that, you're probably looking at some guys who would be available, and Jay Cutler, Hoyer, even Sam Bradford might be cut by some guys. What do you think about Sam Bradford?
You're really going to get me started with this? Jesus.
Yeah,
Sam Bradford.
Geez, I'm sorry. It's salt in the
outside
moon,
of last week. Last week against Carolina, he really wasn't that bad. He just has no weapons on the outside. Seems like it's the same thing in St. Louis. I mean, they just have – Jordan Matthews has probably been one of the biggest fantasy busts of the season and just overall players. Philly wants to kill him right now for all his drops. Nelson Aguilar has been hurt. I mean, they just don't have any weapons right now. Sam Bradford, he's clearly not the Eagles quarterback of the future. If I'm coming off the bye after next week, Mark Sanchez is my guy. I mean, I'm not sitting here saying Mark Sanchez is going to win you a Super Bowl, but he can at least try to get you to a division championship. And the offense needs a spark somewhere, and Sam Bradford is not giving it to him right now. Fantasy perspective, I wouldn't own either of them. I mean, they just have no upside right now. I would own a guy like Brian Hoyer because at least the one thing you know about the Houston Texans is they stink, so they'll be behind in a lot of games. So just like the game against Miami, Brian Hoyer is going to throw the ball a ton. So that's fantasy points, and that's all we care about. Sam Bradford right now in an offense that's probably been one of the worst in football, if not the worst, is just you can't own him right now. Fantasy. It's time to give up on him.
What about Joe Flacco or Mariota when he comes back? These guys worth owning?
No, I mean, I like Joe Flacco. I mean, but they just like another team which just – I like Jay Cutler better than both of them personally. And with Alshon Jeffrey healthy, Martellus Bennett, Matt Forte, you know, Eddie Royal, Marquise Wilson, guys like that. And they play in a good division where they'll be throwing the ball a lot. I like him this week against Minnesota at home. If you're desperate at the quarterback position, I know in a couple places I am. So Jay Cutler is definitely a guy that I'm looking at. So definitely a name to keep an eye on. Hoyer and Cutler are probably the two top guys that I think, you know, outside of the obvious, you know, Derek Carrs of the world that I would pick up this week quarterback-wise.
I think about Josh McCown, banks up his arm or shoulder, I don't know. But might still be able to play. See, a guy used to want a roster moving forward. I think he's impressed me, a little banged up now. What do you think?
I say no as of right now. I mean, if you got a deep bench, I'd keep him on it. But is there really a big difference right now between Josh McCown and I hate Brian Hoyer personally as a quarterback and just I don't know how he's an NFL starting quarterback, but from a fantasy perspective, I mean, he could easily put up 20 points and so can McCown. So they're the same player in my opinion. So I wouldn't go too crazy with him unless you just have a spare roster spot. He's definitely not a starting quarterback right now. I expect him at least miss a week.
You know, outside of the guys we covered, Bortles, Taylor, Carr, these guys start to look similar. You know, Fitzpatrick, Cutler, Hoyer.
Derek Carr should not
even Bradford.
He needs to be picked up as soon as possible. They looked really impressive last week. I mean, him and Amari Cooper, Crabtree, definitely guys you need to. That team's definitely on the up.
Yeah, what a great looking game from them last week and rolling San Diego. I mean, San Diego just put up a lot of garbage time. Otherwise, it would have looked pretty one sided. Moving on to running backs, going to start with some guys obviously shouldn't be out there. You know, Ronnie Hillman, Derek McFadden. Alfred Blue is probably the biggest ad, I would think, out there as far as guys who may be available in a lot of local leagues and things, and even some of our deeper leagues, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, Alfred Blue will be there, Chris Polk. I mean, they're definitely probably the top ads at the position. I mean, running backs are really, really tough this year. With Arian Foster being out for the season, I would think Alfred Blue is going to command a ton of money on the waiver wire just because guys who save their money are going to have to spend it eventually, and this could be their week getting a guy who should be the starter. But like I said, Chris Polk might be a good buy low guy, you know, a guy that you might be able to get cheap and take that job, especially with the team is not going anywhere.
I agree. And then, you know, even, you know, deeper, maybe even Grimes. Yeah, I like that. You know, Alfred Blue, like you said, it's going to be a big spend, you know, over, you know, 50 to 80% of the budget, don't you think?
Totally agree there. Blue is definitely going to be the most attractive free agent on the market this week.
Moving down the line, there's guys that shouldn't be available. Ryan Matthews continues to impress last week, even with, you know, behind Murray, outproduces him there, and, you know, unlimited touches on a long, impressive touchdown run, so shouldn't be available anywhere. Charles Sims, you know, cutting into Doug Martin a bit, shouldn't really be available anywhere, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, Sims is nothing more than a handcuff. I mean, Doug Martin is definitely the guy right now, definitely the guy to own, and going forward, it's the Doug Martin show. Sims is just a situational guy.
Yeah, but, you know, down these bye-week stretch, you know, it could be worth the flex start things.
Totally.
Yeah, like Matthews more, but other guys looking down the list probably shouldn't be available. Guys who scooped up over, you know, earlier weeks or previous weeks, James Starks, Matt Jones, David Cobb began practicing this week and could be active in week 9 when he's first eligible. That running back situation in Tennessee getting sliced just so many ways, nobody's really productive from a fantasy perspective. Do you have any hope for a David Cobb to kind of add some clarity back there?
I think this week could be the week you add David Cobb cheap. I mean, right now, I've said on the show numerous times with you that the running back by committee thing drives me absolutely nuts. Because even in Philadelphia, I mean, if they didn't have Matthews or Murray, you got to give somebody the ball. You got to give them some consistency. I mean, how many carries did the Tennessee – I mean, the game was never a blowout. Antonio Andrews, I mean, Sankey, is he even still on the team? Dexter McCluster, I mean, you would think they got to give David Cobb a good look. I mean, for another team that's going nowhere, the only bad thing about it is that division's so bad. So all these teams still think they have a chance to win a division. And so – they might continue. Ken Wisenhunt, it's just shocking to me how he can't just give a guy the ball and just get out of the way. I mean, it's David Cobb's definitely the guy that I would pick up. Probably can get him this week on the cheap.
Yeah, Bishop Sankey placed 2 snaps last week. Terrence West.
It makes no sense. Yeah. It just doesn't. I mean, when did Dexter McCluster become a 1 week he's a, you know, a PPR guy, and then the next week he doesn't even play.
I know, and I actually picked him up when he – I picked him up when he flashed, played him in a couple spots, dropped him, and now he's flashing again. It's just a little frustrating.
I don't understand what they're doing. They're not winning. It's not like they're winning games doing this. They stink.
Mm-hmm. Hey, on that note, why don't we take just a quick show break? We'll continue on here.
Get over to BFDFantasyFootball.com and subscribe now. You're missing a ton of great advice there, including free agents, player rankings, and more of the opinions you love on the players. BFDFantasyFootball.com.
And we're back. And again, you're listening to the BFD show. I'm your host, Joe Jefferson, lead editor of BFDFantasyFootball.com, joined by our co-host, and writer for BFD, Dave Terpoli, affectionately known as Dave Terp in these parts. We continue on our second hour of the BFD show. Ken, please do get on over to BFD and support the site. We do have a lot of great content over there, a couple rankings a couple times a week. My blog's over there. Dave's helping you win over at DraftKings. Take advantage of the partnership we have with DraftKings over our homepage and save 50% off your subscription for the remainder of the year. All right. Well, we paid some bills. Let's move on. Running back shouldn't be available. C.J. Spiller, Theo Riddick. I think both guys involved in the passing games. Chris Thompson, I think, was inactive last week, but still worth a look, don't you think?
Yeah, he's definitely worth a look, especially with bye weeks. I mean, Matt Jones wasn't successful in the passing game that I really expected him to be one of the, you know, the fantasy forces of the week, especially because they said they're going to give him the ball and give him the ball a lot. And they, in a game that was a blowout, I mean, he really didn't touch the ball at all in the passing game. So Chris Thompson's definitely the guy that I would still own.
Darren Sproles is an interesting guy who's getting dropped in some spots and, you know, smaller leagues, and definitely think is worth a scoop. You know, I think when you're looking at games where Philadelphia is, you know, situational and looking to be trailing in a game, you know, it looks like he's going to get a fair amount of targets. You know, in other games where they're leading, though, he can be, you know, non-existent. What do you think about Darren Sproles?
There's so much unknown. It's just like the dreaded running back by committee. I mean, like Darren Sproles looks like he could have a great matchup against a team like, you know, that might be a high-scoring game, and then they don't use him. And then a game where you never think he would be. So, I mean, the unknown right now in Philadelphia at running back is just, he's worth rostering, but, I mean, you got to be pretty desperate to start him.
Yeah, decent 10 targets last week. You know, didn't really, you know, put up a ton of fantasy points, but, you know, again, when Philadelphia's trailing, yeah, he can explode. So let's see here. James White, what'd you think about him in relief of Deion Lewis a bit last week?
I mean, he did all right, but, I mean, it's still the Deion Lewis show. I mean, I expect him to practice today. I expect him to be back. James White just becomes an afterthought.
Yeah, is he even worth picking up?
I say no.
Yeah, I say no unless super cheap. David Johnson shouldn't be available anywhere. Dexter McCluster, we talked a little bit about him earlier. Worth an ad at this point, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, with so much
just knowing that it might be a total rotation, he might be dropping him in a week or two.
It's just scary because with a rotation, it's like the same thing in New York. I mean, you got Jennings, you got Andre Williams, and a guy I never even heard of that scored a touchdown last week. So you just never know. I mean, starting a guy in New York or Tennessee right now is just total gamble and not one I'd willing to take. Unless you're desperate, desperate, desperate. McCluster would be the guy in Tennessee right this second that if I had to use somebody, I would use him.
Yeah, over Antonio Andrews.
Absolutely.
Brandon Oliver looked pretty solid, you know, now in kind of a three-man rotation with Gordon, Woodhead, and Oliver. Who you like there?
Woodhead's the only guy.
Woodhead explodes, of course.
Really, I mean, he really exploded when it didn't matter. But, I mean, from Francis' perspective, we don't care about that. But he was still used plenty when the game was still halfway relevant. So Danny Woodhead's the only player that I would even consider owning from that team. I mean, I remember when Melvin Gordon first got drafted, I thought he was going to be the man. And I really thought that he was going to be the fantasy force this year. And he's done nothing but disappoint the whole time. I like Brandon Oliver, but I mean, realistically, he's just too small to be that guy every single down. But Melvin Gore needs to be injured for Brandon Oliver to be a serious fantasy perspective. This is the Danny Woodhead show, and that won't change anytime soon.
Yeah, it sounds like I like Oliver a little bit more than you do. I think we both agree, you know, Gordon's, you know, not very good. You know what I like about Oliver? He just, you know, from a PPR perspective, he's just solid and offers a pretty solid floor and a pretty high ceiling. So, Christine Michael got a lot of hype. You know, what do you think about him?
All hype. That's all it is. I mean, I said from before, Dallas needed to give the ball to Darren McFadden or give the ball to Joseph Randle. They clearly hate Joseph Randle with a passion. I know he got banged up a little bit last week, but if Dallas doesn't get the ball to Darren McFadden 25-plus times this week, they should lose games because he was a monster last week. He ran like Darren McFadden that we thought was a number one draft pick at times, you know, first-round pick. He looked beast-like running. I mean, the Giants' defense stinks, but it doesn't matter. The holes were there. He was hitting them. You know, he was making plays. So from this day, you know, from forward on, Darren McFadden needs to be the guy in Dallas. And well, he holds up. I mean, that's a different story. But Christian Michael should be waived in every league.
You know, Darren McFadden, like you said, really stepping up and dominating the touches last week. You know, knew he was a guy to play from a PPR perspective and taking over that Lance Dunbar role. But now, not only that, also, you know, the lead dog on first and second downs makes him a potential fantasy star moving forward, particularly if Romo ever gets back. You know, Randall looks like safely the number two and Christine Michael number three. You know, I feel like, you know, in deeper leagues, Michael, you can hold on to and see sort of what happens. But at this point, he looks like he needs an injury. Kyrie Robinson hawking a couple touchdowns last week from Ingram and killing Spiller's value as well. You like taking a shot on a guy like Kyrie Robinson?
I don't understand another team. I just don't understand what they're doing. Mark Ingram ran the ball really, really well. He's clearly their best back right now, but why did you sign C.J. Spiller? Did anybody watch the Dallas game? Did anybody see what he did in the Dallas game? The guy has big-time upside. Now, from all talks of him being Darren Sproles of this offense, I mean, he's not even playing much. I mean, Kyrie Robinson stealing two TDs. Other than that, what did Kyrie Robinson do? Nothing. So, I mean, he could be the Mike Tolbert of this team, but, I mean, I just don't see any reason to add Kyrie Robinson unless Ingram gets hurt.
I don't know, man. 14 touches for Kyrie Robinson last week. Didn't do much with them. 28 yards and the two touchdowns, but
they're definitely a, touches. They're definitely a sneaky running team, but I'm a C.J. Spiller owner, and I really don't know what to do with the guy right now because I feel like the second I cut him, he's going to just go into beast mode and, you know, be a monster.
Yeah, exactly. Like that overtime 80-yard touchdown, you know, moving, you know, all the time, moving forward. Yeah, really perplexing situation down in New Orleans, but, you know, got to kind of roll with it and add a guy like Kyrie Robinson, I think. You know, Chris Polk, kind of in this range, we already kind of talked about him, I think. Blue, kind of the lead dog, but Polk, in this range of guys we're kind of talking about here, I think makes sense as a solid add. What do you think a bid on, like, a guy like Chris Polk would be?
I think you probably get him under 100. I don't think he'll be that expensive. I think people are going to blow their, you know, their money on Blue pretty heavily, so you'll have a lot of bids on him. I think you probably steal Polk. I'd say 150 at the max, probably somewhere in the, you know, 50 to 75 range. You'll probably be safe, in my opinion.
Carlos Williams, a guy that might be hanging around there. Some people might have cut through some of these bye weeks and whatnot, as he's been out several games. Could be a nice sneaky add, so don't let him go. Certainly, you know, McCoy's back up, and I think even when both are healthy, Williams has got decent value as a potential play, you know, weak start. But if you need him, and, of course, if McCoy's down, he's the man down the stretch, which could be big. Joyke Bell getting back, is he even worth considering? I know you're going to dog on him. What do you think?
I mean, I know we've both been on the Joyke Bell bandwagon at the beginning of the season, thinking he was, you know, the guy with, you know, that would be overlooked, but he's pretty much a guy that you can't own right now. I mean, he's a bench guy, if anything. I mean, Abdullah Riddick, they just fired their offensive coordinator, they fired their offensive line coach. I don't know why they didn't fire their head coach, because Jim Caldwell, in my opinion, is an awful football coach. All the talent they have on that team, especially on the offense, how they aren't successful. I mean, they started the game out last week against the Vikings. You know, Calvin Johnson, the ball, you know, early often. I mean, he had a great first quarter and then was nowhere to be found. It just makes no sense to me. Golden Tate's not touching the ball. And Lance Moore's somehow fantasy relevant. I mean, Abdullah had a great breakout season early, and then he's been fumbling and, you know, in the doghouse. Theo Riddick's clearly, you know, the guy to own right now at the running back position just for PPR standpoint. But, I mean, they're just all over the place. And Stafford just seems like he's, like, running around with his, you know, the deer in headlights.
Yeah, and, you know, they had such a huge committee. Zach Zenner, of course, done for the year. I think Bell's worth a shot, you know, super cheap if you can roster him and hold on to him and see what happens there. You know, he does fit a different profile than the other two, but I do like their offense kind of with those other two kind of smaller pass-catching backs. Robert Turbin, a guy who's kind of mucking up the split, I think, in Cleveland, I think, and somewhat ruining Isaiah Crowell and Crowell and Duke Johnson's value, don't you think? But still probably worth a shot as far as if you got, you know, a guy to, you know, stash on your roster.
He's definitely worth a gamble. Again, another team, the running back by committee headache that just drives me nuts. Duke Johnson is clearly the best back there, clearly the guy with the most upside. I mean, you're a team that is really going nowhere. Give the guy the ball. Get him as many touches as he can. He can make plays. You could tell, by the way, when he catches the ball, he's explosive. I just don't understand why they continue to this Robert Turbins of the world and the Isaiah Crowells of the world. I mean, get him the ball.
We talked about Ahmad Bradshaw, definitely worth an ad. Orleans Darkwa, gets a fair amount of snaps, gets a touchdown. Shame on you for not knowing who Darkwa had a good preseason.
Where did he come
from? Worth an ad?
I mean, he had a good preseason. I know about him in preseason, but
I
never thought he was actually going to get warrant touches. I mean, I didn't hear anything all week about it, and kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, my buddy texted me and was like, who's this guy that just scored a touchdown? I was like, to be honest, I mean, I heard about him in the preseason, but I really have no idea who the guy is.
You think he's worth an ad?
No, absolutely not. I mean, desperate times, I guess, maybe, but, like, they have four guys, so it could be a hot hand. Right. I mean, who knows?
Let's move on to receiver. As we the clock is ticking on us here, I'll run through some obvious choices. Shouldn't be available anywhere. Michael Crabtree, we already talked about. Stephon Diggs is really kind of stepping up in that number two, number one role, if you want, in Minnesota. Marvin Jones, even Rishard Matthews continues to be the number two option there in Miami. And, you know, guys expecting, you know, Devontae Parker, another kind of frustrating young name that we've expected so much from, is not really emerging, you know, nothing much from Kenny Stills. Expect Rishard Matthews to continue to be the guy moving forward?
I do, yes. I mean, it's hard because, I mean, Miami's on the uptake right now. That team's looking real solid the last couple weeks. I really expect, you know, Matthews to just continue to play well. I mean, he's definitely getting plenty of looks. Kenny Stills put up a zero last week. Devontae Parker did nothing. Jordan Cameron has been his normal Jordan Cameron self lately and doing nothing. So this is pretty much a Landry Matthews show, in my opinion. Both guys are absolute starters in every format, especially this week in a game that would be a shootout on Thursday night against New England.
Brandon LaFell gets thrown into the action last week. I heard the commentator, a little rusty, is what he called him. And,
what a rough
certainly,
game he had. Jesus.
Yeah, what a rough
Six
game.
Drops.
But looks healthy and got eight targets. I think that means really good things moving forward. You know, the guy can ball, and, you know, it's just going to take him a little bit of time to get. I'm shocked they threw him into the fire like they did, weren't you? Or no? I thought
totally
they would have sat him.
And, I mean, I didn't even think he was going to get many snaps. I mean, in a game that was so, you know, important against a great Jets team, a great defense. Definitely was shocked by that, but definitely, you know, very, very happy he got eight targets. I mean, first game back, that's a good sign. Definitely playing at work, and if he's available, I would definitely pick him up.
Yeah, Devontae Adams also shouldn't be available anywhere. What about these are some guys that should maybe, well, let's see, Terrence Williams also probably not available anywhere. Eddie Royal, probably a guy who is available in some spots. Do you think he's worth rostering?
Absolutely. I mean, he still has that rapport with Jay Cutler. I mean, he's been okay this year when he's been healthy. Behind Forte, Alshon Jeffrey, and Martellus Bennett, he could get a lot of open looks. Definitely a guy that, you know, with 5 weeks up, I would start Eddie Royal and be okay with it. You know, not
mm-hmm.
thrilled, but okay.
Mm-hmm. Another guy who could really help you with guys just dropping like flies around him, Robert Woods. Percy Harvin looking like he's contemplating retirement. What a bizarre story that is. We can chat a little bit about that. Sammy Watkins sort of always on the mend. Robert Woods looking like the number one guy there. Chris Hogan also getting some targets there. What do you make of the Buffalo receiver situation moving forward, and who do you think has the most value?
Robert Woods by far. I mean, he's a guy that should be rostered everywhere right now. If not, spend the money to get him, because until Sammy Watkins probably is going to be back for a couple weeks, and Percy Harvin, he won't play another down for the Buffalo Bills, in my opinion. I still remember week one when he went nuts. Everybody thought, oh, Percy Harvin this, Percy Harvin this, you know, Percy Harvin that. And where's Percy Harvin right now? This could be his last stop in the NFL. He's clearly banged up. He's hurt again. He should be cut in every format. And Robert Woods is definitely the guy that, you know, to own. And Charles Clay obviously is going to get plenty of work too.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think Robert Woods is definitely a guy to go get. Stevie Johnson comes back, and with Gates potentially out a couple weeks, has some value. Definitely a guy to scoop up if he's available out there, don't you think?
Totally agree. I mean, with Gates being possibly out a couple weeks, I mean, I thought Johnson would be more involved in the passing game against the Raiders. Raiders are pretty bad against the pass, and I expected that game to, you know, be a little bit more of a even shootout, and it really was just a one-sided affair until late, you know, with garbage, you know, fantasy points, which we all love, with Keenan Allen and Woodhead and Ladarius Green. But Stevie Johnson is definitely the guy that he might be ignored right now, you know, on waiver wires if he's available. Definitely pick him up. He's definitely worth a roster spot.
One guy who didn't disappoint last week, Nate Washington, you know, ton of garbage time, posting a big number on 16 targets, 9 for 127, 2 touches. What a weird game when they fell behind, yeah, 41-0. You like Nate Washington?
I mean, you got to like him. Like I said, garbage points. We like garbage points in fantasy football. There's nothing really to dislike about him. I mean, we don't care who wins the games. We just care what our fantasy players do. I thought last week might be the, you know, Jalen Strong coming out party, with Cecil Shorts being out, but I was clearly wrong. And Nate Washington was the best, you know, fantasy player, and that includes DeAndre Hopkins, which is scary to most, you know, a lot of DraftKings owners who he was 44% owned in most of the, you know, the bigger contests. Nate Washington's a guy that you got to own going forward. He's definitely a guy that is going to cost a lot of money this week. I wouldn't go too crazy with him, but you got to add him because, like I said, Houston's going to be behind a ton, so he's going to need work.
Roddy White also probably worth an add. Michael Floyd worth an add.
Michael Floyd definitely, yes.
Yeah, Michael Floyd probably more so than the last couple guys we talked about or last guys we mentioned. Tavon Austin, what do you think about him? Is he worth an add?
There's too many questions right now. I mean, we talked about Brian Quick earlier, Kenny Britt, I mean, Jared Cook. You just never know who's going to get the ball. I mean, Tavon Austin's a guy that you should have on your team, but I don't know when you start him. I mean, you're just playing with fire.
Reuben Randall shouldn't really be available anywhere, I don't think. But he's a pretty solid, you know, option, even though he hasn't really produced much. Yeah, frustrating, but still should be rostered, don't you think?
Totally, yeah.
Crowder, what do you think about Jameson Crowder, Jordan Reed?
You guys should be on
the show there. What's that?
Definitely should be on every single team. I mean, I don't see there being any reason he should be on the waiver wire right now. He's clearly the, behind Jordan Reed and Garcon, he's clearly the third option. DeSean Jackson, who knows when he'll be back. I mean, I don't expect it to be anytime soon. So Crowder's definitely the guy that I would own.
Danny Amendola flashes last week, you know, had a couple of decent games. Of course, we talked about Brandon LaFell kind of getting right back in the mix. You think Amendola has value moving forward?
Tom Brady's throwing the ball. He definitely has value. He should be a guy you add this week, you know, in a game that, you know, like I said, could be a Thursday night shootout. We know Brady's going to throw the ball a lot, and he definitely liked Amendola against, you know, a very good Jets secondary last week. So I would add him, yes.
You know, Dorial Green-Beckham's a guy we talked about, probably worth adding and stashing at this point if you've got some room. Other couple, you know, now we're talking about kind of rookie stashes for later in the year. Nelson Aguilar probably got dropped in a few spots, probably worth an add if you've got room to wait it out, because don't expect much soon. Same thing with Devin, you know, Funchess. Talked about Devontae Parker, you know, a lot of these young rookie receivers. I expect one of them at least to make a splash down the stretch, don't you think? But just tough to know who and when.
You would think so. I mean, there's a lot of talent. It's just their coaches just aren't giving them the chance to get on the field. I mean, like we mentioned Jalen Strong, Beckham, Aguilar. I mean, Chris Conley in Kansas City finally had a good week last week, but, I mean, there's so much unknown right now.
I like Conley, you know, but, you know, when Macklin's back, it's just not really enough to support a second receiver there, I don't think, but we'll see. I do think Conley's a decent name to add, though. Moving on to tight end, a couple guys probably shouldn't be around. Eric Ebron comes back and has a pretty sweet week. Antonio Gates out, and Ladarius Green looks like a obvious add. Probably the best that's probably available in most leagues, wouldn't you think?
Totally agree, yes. I mean, he's definitely the best option.
Other names looking down the line, Zach Ertz, Ben Watson, Richard Rodgers, any of those names excite you?
Ben Watson probably be the only guy. I mean, I'm not crazy about him, but Drew Brees has been getting the ball a lot lately.
I like Ertz, too. Ertz is available. I think he's, you know, worth a shot. It feels like he's always, you know, close to having a huge game, but he never really actually comes through. So he's a guy who I think has some potential. Looking at some matchups this weekend, you know, what do you think about Denver at Green Bay? What do you think about that game?
It's going to be a great game. Definitely the marquee game of the week. I mean, as a Denver guy, you got to be excited about it. You really see what that defense is made of against the best quarterback in football. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is going to be throwing the ball around. It's just a question of can that defense hold up? Can it get pressure on him? And then on the other side of the ball, what's going to go on with Peyton Manning? I mean, can he make plays enough to win that game? Because I think Denver will be able to shut down Aaron Rodgers a little bit, but he's still going to put up his numbers. He's still going to put up his points. I expect Ronnie Hillman to be a guy that's going to be get a lot of work. I saw C.J. Anderson cutting a lot of leagues, which was shocking to me. But,
oof, wow.
So, Ronnie Hillman, I think, is going to be the guy going forward.
A lot of other decent you know, total games, though, for the week. You know, not a ton of, you know, totally standout games from an over-under, you know, sort of perspective. The highest out in Vegas actually is the Thursday night game, Miami at New England. So maybe a game to play rather than fade. What do you think?
I mean, I definitely would play. If I'm going to be in the Thursday night lineups, I'm definitely playing hard in that game. I love Tom Brady in that game. I mean, he's obviously going to be the most expensive quarterback. But if you're playing that Thursday night game, I go heavy after it. I go Rashad Matthews, I go Landry, I go Brady, Gronk, Edelman. I mean, guys with confidence. Lamar Miller, probably. Definitely a game I'll go heavy after.
And, again, the highest over-under of the week. And, you know, kind of weird because normally we like to fade these Thursday games. So having the
Thursday
game be kind of the play game is weird. But you heard it here, man. And, hey, I think we might just have to leave it there again. Please check out BFDFantasyFootball.com. Appreciate everybody listening live and those downloading later. We do genuinely appreciate your support. Again, check out the website. BFDFantasyFootball.com. Check out our partners, DraftKings.com, through our homepage. Click on that link and save 50% off your BFD subscription. Or even if you don't, please use that link for us there. Guys, thank you so much. Great review week 7. Great luck in week 8.
I'm not afraid.
Yeah.
Been a ride. I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now some of you might still be in that place. If you're trying to get out, just follow me. I'll get you.
You can try and read my lyrics off of this paper before I lay them, but you won't take the sting out these words before I say them. Cause ain't no way I'm gonna let you stop me from causing mayhem. When I say I'm gonna do something, I do it. I don't give a damn what you think. For me, so fuck the world, Peter Beans. It's cashed up, if it thinks it's stopping me, I'ma be what I set out to be, without a doubt, undoubtedly. And all those who look down on me, I'm tearing down your balcony. No way fans are butts, don't try to ask him why, how can he? From infinite down to the last relapse album, he's still sitting, whether he's on salary, paid hourly, until he piles
out. Get over to BFDFantasyFootball.com and subscribe now. You're missing a ton of great advice there, including free agents, player rankings, and more of the opinions you love on the players. BFDFantasyFootball.com.